Hello, Twisted Humans.
This is the podcast where two best friends chat true crime and have a glass
or two
of wine. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Caitlin.
And this is Twisted and Uncorked.
So join us every week for Casual Tuesdays, where we release a new episode.
We are now available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Cheers!
Cheers!
And welcome to episode 17 of Insanely Criminal. I'm Jem.
I'm Ali.
And we've just died laughing at ourselves. I hit record to record it, then Ali made a joke about the protesting or the domestic terrorism that happened in America. Say it, Ali, what did you say?
I'm not saying it.
She said it was a revolution, according to the woman with the onions
in her eyes. Oh, with the onions, saying that she got maced. She was just there rubbing an onion in her eye.
Yeah. I saw a meme about it and it was like, oh, fair play. No one's laughing at the UK now, are they?
Yeah.
Those mad. See you next Tuesdays in America. They've taken our crown. And they have. And then I saw that someone said it looked like Pride Rock in the Lion King.
Oh my God.
After Mufasa gets killed. Other than that, what else has been happening? COVID. More COVID. More working from home. More homeschooling.
Great.
And I think that's it. Is that all that's happened?
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. It's every day's a blur. Not a blessing. So should we get into it?
Yeah.
We're releasing this late. It usually comes out on a Monday morning, so we've been really lazy. So this week, we're going to talk about the Branch Davidians, because we all love a cult, don't we, Ali?
What?
We all love a cult.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you think you could ever be swayed to be in a cult?
Depends what the cult was about.
Well, I mean, like, what cults are all about, it's just one egomaniac.
Probably if I just, like, lose my marbles, then probably I would.
Yeah, I don't think I would. If I did, it probably would be something like the Manson family.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's the kind of thing I would end up in. Hopefully nothing like the Branch Davidians. I'm not interested. So, let's talk about the Branch Davidians. But first, let's go back to the life, the early life of David Koresh. So, he was born Vernon Wayne Howell in Houston, Texas on August 17th, 1959. So he changed his name, I think, in 1990 to David Koresh.
Koresh?
Yeah, David Koresh.
Like Koresh, but Koresh.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, that's made me feel sick about the whole thing, even more so.
It just sounds
David
like...
David Koresh.
Like, I don't know what his name is. The person who pronounces S is like...
Me?
No.
Sean Connery?
Yeah, that's it.
He's dead.
It's like if
he's not pronouncing any words now.
It's like if Sean Connery pronounced Koresh.
Oof, that's just made me feel sick, actually. Sorry. Not because of Sean Connery, but the thought of David Koresh caressing anything is just not good. Oh, we can hear the cat outside. So his mother, her name was Bonnie Sue Clark, and she was 14 at the time of his birth. So make of that what you
will. Questionable.
Very questionable. And his father left Bonnie Sue for another teenage girl.
How old is...
I actually don't know how old his dad was. I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe a few years older.
Yeah.
Don't think he was like 50.
No, I'd say like 17.
I think he was like 20, actually. I think he was born in 1939.
That's
so I think
more
he was
than
20.
A bit older.
Yeah, that's still not good.
No. It's very much illegal.
Yeah, and then he left her for another teenage girl. Ugh. So he had zero relationship with his father, and his mother started living with a violent alcoholic, as you do. And when Koresh was 4, Bonnie Sue left him with his grandmother and ran off with her boyfriend. But she returned 3 years later and had another child named Roger. It's a good solid name, though, isn't it? Roger.
Yeah.
We know a Roger.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Roger Taylor for a minute.
I was just going to say, who's Roger Taylor?
Queen? My friend didn't...
I don't listen to Queen.
Remember the Paul in the Beatles and said that the Paul was Paul Hollywood.
Paul Hollywood in the Beatles.
Yeah.
It might have been better. I'm not a Beatles fan. I can't buy into it. There's some good songs, but...
Yeah. I haven't listened to their entire discography or anything.
No.
But I think they do have a few good stuff.
There was someone who we know who was getting rid of loads of vinyl a couple of years ago and said, I've got all the original Beatles albums, do you want them? Me stupidly said, you should sell them, they're worth a lot of money. Instead of going, oh yeah, thanks, then I could have sold them and made a lot of money.
Yeah, why didn't you take them? I could have just taken them from me.
No. I think I've got Paul McCartney singles that my mum gave me.
Oh.
I think I've got Live and Let Die or something on single.
Oh, like the song in
James Bond?
No, Shrek the Third.
Oh my god.
You know when Fiona's dad dies and he's a frog and the frog choir sings Live and Let Die as they push him on a lily pad.
Yes, it's all coming back to me now.
Shrek the Third is the best cinematic.
I had to watch the first two on Saturday. I sat there and watched the first two while your brother left.
I watched Despicable Me 2 the other day.
It's crap.
It's not crap.
Right, let's stop talking about Shrek because... they're your knife skills and no one else's.
They're not my knife skills.
That came up on your Snapchat, best of for your year. It said you've been practicing your knife skills.
Oh, yeah.
And it was you and Shrek.
Just me and Shrek. I was looking at the camera dead in the eyes. With my lip, slightly quivering from the really bad filter.
Jesus.
And it was just silent. And apparently those were my knife skills.
So, yeah, if anyone wants to know what happens in this house, it's mainly just that.
Yeah.
Times 100, Ali showed me a funny video before where she did an impression of our cat watching the film.
Yeah, because I was watching a film the other day, and it's, notably pretty bad. But, it has a nice little place in my heart, so I watch it on the daily. And then the cat walks in, looks at the TV, and, walks off in, disappointment.
She's only used to watching crime, Ali. She did watch Sopranos with me last night, though. She was into
that. She never watches anything with me. I watched two of the first Maze Runners in one night the other day.
We should just start doing a film review podcast because we're going downhill here now.
Oh, yeah.
We probably should, just on the side.
Yeah.
Should we?
Oh, my God.
Let's do it. Hold on to your butts, guys. This could happen.
Mm-hmm. Every month or so, we have, a bonus, a Bonnie app of
films.
Yeah.
Well, crime films.
No, just films.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to interrupt your true crime. I'm here to review the Bee Movie.
Here I am to review Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, I don't watch crime. I'm not watching a coming-of-age tale.
Oh, I watched it yesterday because it got taken off of Netflix and I was so upset.
Shall we get back to David Koresh, though?
Yeah. Koresh.
So, David Koresh did always say that he had a lonely childhood. Same. I feel like I relate to these people every week. He did not do well in school.
That's not me.
Well, I know. It's not really. And he was put in... huh?
But you're relating to a murderer.
Well...
Well,
it's not really. Well, I suppose he was.
What do you mean, I suppose he was?
I don't know. So, when he was 19, here we go, he started a relationship with a 15-year-old girl. As you can see, I've put in brackets, you.
Oh.
And she became pregnant. And around this time, he said he became a born-again Christian and joined his mother's church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay.
That's a lengthy name.
Yeah.
Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, I think it's because they believe that the seventh day of the week is a Saturday.
What?
I don't even know.
What's the extra day then?
I don't know. Don't ask. I don't know anything about religions. I stay away from it. You know me.
I stay well away.
So that was the church he joined because he was born again Christian. Probably because he was paedophile.
What's that got to do with being a born again Christian?
I don't know. If you watch these prison shows, you'll find out that most of the paedophiles do become Christians for some reason.
I think I would if I went to prison.
Well, if you were a paedophile.
No, not if I was a paedophile.
If you went to prison.
If I went to prison for something and I had like no hope, then I'd just like turn to God, because what else do I have left anymore?
Oh God, I would just learn to be a mechanic or something. So it was in this church that David Koresh became infatuated with the pastor's daughter. And he approached the pastor and said he wanted to marry his daughter, which led to Koresh being thrown out of the church. I mean, same.
Understandably.
Yeah, I mean, come on now, mate, get out. So in 1981, Koresh moved to Waco, Texas, and joined the Branch Davidians. So the Branch Davidians is a religious sect, or cult, in my opinion, formed in 1955, I think, by Benjamin Rodin. So
Benjamin Rodin.
Yeah, Rodin.
Oh.
Rodin. Let's see, that'll probably correct. It's a rodent. Oh,
rodent.
Now it's just going to lock. So what did the Branch Davidians believe in? No, it came up with Rodin. So the religion started way back, really, in the 1930s, but then it changed.
So it had a little reincarnation.
Yeah. They were just called the Davidians at first, and they were like a spin-off from the Seventh-day Adventists.
Spin-offs?
Yeah. They were the spin-off. They were like, don't know.
Like Sam and Cat and Victorious.
Oh, Jesus.
Like Sam and Cat is a spin-off.
I don't think we can relate that to the Branch Davidians.
Yeah, but you said that it's a spin-off.
Yeah, I don't think it's that kind of spin-off.
I was just giving an example of spin-offs.
They were both horrific. The same as these two religions.
Oh, I thought.
So, to be a Branch Davidian, you had to separate yourself from the world because the world is full of sins and they are purely meant to be spiritual. The Branch Davidians were also celibate, apart from David Koresh, who said in order to he had to have sex with people in order to procreate. And I put there, yeah, that's why we all do it, mate.
That's procreate.
To have babies.
Well, yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah, but nobody else in the Branch Davidians was allowed to have sex. Only David Koresh. He was...
So is he like the birth giver?
The birth giver? No, that's the woman.
I know.
No, but, like, he just wanted to have sex with loads of women, but he said it's because he needed to have kids with them all.
Oh, so like grow... The Davidians.
To grow the Davidians.
Yeah.
Strengthen the
grow
Davidians.
Some new ones.
Strengthen the branch. So in 1983, Koresh began saying he was the gift of prophecy, which is a weird flex in my opinion. He claimed God had told him that he should have sex with Lois Rodin, Benjamin Rodin's wife, and the child would be the chosen one. I mean, is this dating in the 1980s in a religious cult? Like, this is just what you do. Like, I need to have sex with your wife because that baby will be the chosen one. It must happen. But despite this, Lois did let Koresh start teaching his own message called, wait for it, the serpent's root.
The serpent's root.
And I put here, ooh la la. Why was it called that? So this teaching caused controversy in the group as everyone expected George Rodin, Lois's son, to become the next leader. Then David Koresh, the old romantic that he was, said he had to marry Rachel Jones. This was a member in the Branch Davidians, because God had instructed it.
Oh, of course. He just, like, came down one day and went, oi, Koresh,
do it. Do the business, mate. I allow it.
Do the deed. And then
For you?
Just ascended back up.
Yeah.
He just went, oi, do the deed. And then that was
it. That is exactly, I think, what has happened. And what you've just said isn't that weird compared to what we're going to hear, so...
Oh.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Jesus didn't just come down and say, get out of here, and then...
Jesus?
Oh, God.
Didn't you look out into the sky yesterday and said, oh, Jesus is coming down? And I was like, it's God no. that's supposed to be in the sky.
No.
You said something weird like that the other day, and I was like,
oh, I said, like, what? How big would God be if
how big would
down?
Jesus be?
Yeah, how big would God be? Like, if he, like, came down, how big would he be?
Effing massive.
Would he be, like, the same size as the Earth?
He is the Milky Way.
He's just there.
Oh,
just
he
his
brought...
arms going like that. And
if he brought me a Milky Way, I might become religious.
That's where I would begin to believe that there is truly a God.
Oh, if he brought me a galaxy.
If a massive man just went, there you go, and then gave you Milky Way and then blasted back off.
What, in his God rocket?
Yeah! God rocket!
He's just waving from the little circular window. Bye, guys! Enjoy your confectionery. So, yeah, I've also written here that the cult leader guys have game. What have you seen?
Oh, I thought I got Milky Bar confused with Milky Way, and I was like, what if God is the Milky Bar kid?
Oh, God.
Jesus, I got them confused.
He's going to come down, this shriveled old spirit, with a little wonky cowboy hat on, and just go, the Milky Bars are on me. Is that what he's going to do?
Yeah, the maker of Milky Bars saw God, and he looked exactly like the Milky Bar kid.
Oh my God. Apologies to anyone it's listening who wanted to hear about cults, that we've now spoken about...
Milky Bar
really
lore.
Crap films and God coming down offering us his snacks.
His confections.
Is God the snack?
He is a snack.
Oh my God. I cannot, Ali. I'm deceased.
He's a whole meal.
Oh God.
That sounds like a really cringy, like, Christian... T-shirt.
It looks like something you'd see outside the church. God is the whole meal.
God isn't a snack, he's the whole meal.
He's thick. If anyone's listening, you're religious. I'm not sorry. I must take my glasses off.
Surely this is something that they teach them in the church.
Oh, yeah,
like,
look at this.
One of their hymns are just... He isn't a snack, he is a whole meal.
They wheel that Jesus on the crucifix in, he is the snack.
And God is the whole meal.
Oh my God, Jesus is the happy meal.
Yeah.
And God is the Big Mac snack.
Yeah.
All right, we need to get off this topic now because I think
Jesus
I may
is a
die.
Fruit bag.
Fruit bag?
Yeah, and God is a milkshake.
God's the nugs.
The nugs. Because one has notably more popularity and niceness.
Both are incredibly fictional.
What, fruit
Unlike
bags?
Unlike chicken nuggets, which will always be there for you.
Yeah.
I got Ali a mug for Christmas that said chicken nugget lover.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so... I don't even know if I've said this now because I'm thinking about God being a snack.
We got the serpent's root, didn't we?
I don't know. I went past the serpent's root. I think maybe that's what God calls it. Oh, yeah. So he had to marry Rachel Jones. Is this where we are, Ali?
Yeah.
What's the will to live? Okay, so God instructed him to marry Rachel Jones and have children. And I put here, which I thought was really funny, because I'm not funny, that cult guys, they just have so much game, like they will use this religion, like, well, God said it, so now you're mine.
It must happen.
Oh, well, now I can't argue because the almighty snack has spoken.
The almighty meal. And his snack of a son.
You would supersize that. Snack of a son.
Yeah. Whole meal and his snack of a son.
This podcast has taken a turn for the worst.
This isn't going to end. It's going to be an hour of us saying that God is the whole
snack. We're literally not
even
done with the first page.
20 minutes.
It's been 53 hours and we're still here.
We're still laughing about...
So, I don't even want to think about Jesus being a snack. So, the Branch Davidians HQ was located in Mount Carmel. I kept writing Caramel before because I'm just greedy.
Where's Mount Carmel?
Texas. And a power struggle began with Koresh and George Roden.
Ooh.
And I can understand why. It was his dad's religion, quote unquote. So naturally, he should be the leader. Do you agree?
What?
He should be the leader. It's his dad's religion, not David Koresh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, George Roden forced David Koresh off the land by gunpoint. But Koresh took 25 of his own followers with him and they set up camp in Palestine, Texas, which was 90 miles from Waco, so quite far. They lived in tents and buses for the first 2 years, but Koresh kept himself busy and found new followers from California, the UK, he came here, and they were mainly from Nottingham, Manchester and London. He also went to Israel and Australia. Global Koresh domination.
The world tour.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's back. So in this camp that he had, he and his followers were said to have lived a very primitive lifestyle. But when Lois Roden died in 1986, his followers wondered if they would be able to return to the Mount Carmel Center. Koresh did have loyalty from the majority of the Branch Davidian community, and Roden's support was going downhill by 1987. Now, here's where it gets very odd. So, George Roden challenged Koresh to a good old-fashioned duel. But
a
not
duel?
The duel that you would think.
Is this Hamilton?
It's not Hamilton.
They're going to have a duel.
Oh, well, if this is the duel that happened in Hamilton, it would have been a very different musical. No.
Oh, damn.
So he challenged Koresh to raise the dead, telling Koresh he needed to exhume a corpse and bring it back to life. to prove he was like the prophet of the Branch Davidians.
Why didn't he do it? Why didn't both of them just do it?
Well, they were supposed to. And I think he told Koresh too, he's like, don't cheat, I want to see photos. I mean, same. So... instead of raising the dead, Koresh decided to raise hell instead and took 7 of his armed followers to the Mount Carmel Center. When Roden noticed Koresh, a gunfight started. A sheriff showed up and Koresh and his followers were charged with attempted murder. And he explained he was there purely to uncover evidence of a criminal disturbance of a corpse by Roden. Ooh, you sneaky fox, David Koresh.
You just call him a sneaky fox.
Sneaky fox. So they were later acquitted and a mistrial was declared, so they got away with it. However, in 1989, George Roden killed Wayman Dale Adair with an axe. The hatchet is back.
It's back.
It's hatchet time.
It's made a return.
It has.
We couldn't go like 5 episodes without a hatchet.
So, he killed him with an axe to the head because Wayman Adair said that he was the Messiah and not George. I mean, what a power struggle. Toxic masculinity.
I'm just thinking about that one person on, what was it, Dr. Phil?
What's this guy do?
He came in. He was like this weird vegan guy. And he had tattoos and piercings all over his face. And like a really like weird like droopy face. And blue hair, and he came in going, I am the beautiful vegan Messiah, and then walked out.
Wow, that sounds like probably somebody who I would end up with.
Who's the beautiful vegan Messiah?
Somewhat odd. So, this blow, no pun intended, a blow with a hatchet, landed George in a psychiatric hospital, and Koresh swiftly moved in as leader. What a wild ride. And we haven't really started yet, Ali.
Oh, great.
We're just getting started. So, let's get into the really nice topic of the allegations of child abuse and rape.
Oh!
Nice and lighthearted.
Oh!
So Koresh was said to have abused many children sexually and physically, and this does not surprise me. It seems to be the norms in some religion. Catholicism. Sorry if anyone's a Catholic and listening, but we all know it's true. So, especially in a cult as well, I think most of these kids are getting knocked about and God knows what else. His religious doctrine did say that he needed to marry single women and also that he needed to have 24 children to serve as ruling elders over the millennium after the return of Jesus Christ.
24?
24 kids?
He'd be like dead.
Why would he be dead?
He'd be like worn out. 24 kids.
It might have been quick, Callie. We don't know.
What do you mean it might have been quick?
Well, it might have been over and he just moves on to number two.
Oh, I thought you meant the, like, the pregnancy would be quick.
No, he's not a hamster. So, yeah, I mean, the millennium after the return of Jesus Christ. All I got before the millennium was the threat of Y2K. What's everything? Y2K? Oh my God!
I've heard of it.
Oh, you need to get back to Y2K. I think even my dad was a bit stressed out. He was like, what's, oh my Y2K? God, once we get to the year 2000, everything's going to go back to zero because apparently they hadn't programmed the year 2000 into a computer.
Why should you program time?
People were going wild all over the world, mainly America. They were like stockpiling water, building bunkers, buying torches and all this food. And people were like, planes are going to fall from the sky.
What?
This was a real thing that happened, the threat of Y2K. It was a time to be alive. It was a time to be alive.
What does Y2K stand for?
Year 2000.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean, we didn't get the return of Jesus Christ the snack. Nothing happened anyway. So one of these women that he chose was Michelle Jones, who was not only underage, quelle surprise, but was also the younger sister of his wife, Rachel Jones. There was a 6-month investigation into the allegations, but because the Branch Davidians covered a lot of things up, they failed to find any evidence. Ali's sitting here with a plant pot on her head. This is normal life.
I can't move or it'll fall.
So to cover it up as well, they made Michelle Jones marry this guy called David Thibodeau. If anyone's watched Waco, he's portrayed in that. It's actually quite a good TV show. I think he's written some books about being in the Branch Davidians too. So they did that just for the sake of appearances, so it didn't look like David Koresh had all these wives. Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh no, only one's mine. These belong to other people.
Belong?
They belong, yeah. That's probably what he said. Another allegation is that Koresh became so annoyed with his son crying one day that he spanked him for several minutes. Ugh. Oh. And another man claimed to have seen a beating of a young boy with a stick occur. Nice.
All right.
Despite all of these allegations, the FBI said the abuse allegations were not their main interest. The main interest of the FBI was, in fact, that the Branch Davidians had possession of illegal firearms in the centre. So on February 28, 1993, the ATF tried to raid the site to execute a search warrant. We don't really know what happened next. So some of the surviving Branch Davidians say that the ATF shot first. But the ATF say that the Branch Davidians opened fire first. And here's my amazing joke. It's like, who shot first, Han or Greedo in Star Wars? Ali doesn't get it, but if anyone's...
I don't.
If anyone's listening, if you get it, I hope you're impressed.
That's why everyone's starting to not there.
Like, who's there? Hell is Greedo?
I've forgotten who Greedo was.
Ah, you don't remember in that scene when they're in the cantina, a Greedo walks in and he just looks at Han. They just like,
oh yeah.
Han definitely shot first though. We know Han did it first. I love Han Solo.
We know,
everyone knows. So this raid, like this first one, did kill five ATF agents. 5 Branch Davidians and injured 16 like other agents, FBI. And so began the infamous Waco siege, which would last 51 days.
I think it was 51 years.
No, it'd still be going on now.
Yeah.
The FBI used a lot of tactics to get to the Branch Davidians, such as playing loud music on speakers 24/7 to induce sleep deprivation. And they also participated in 60 hours of negotiation with Koresh. Oh, imagine how arduous that would be. Like, oh. Koresh wanted to delay the end of the siege so he could finish writing his religious documents, all whilst nursing a gunshot wound. What dedication.
Wow.
Imagine just bleeding out. I gotta finish this. I gotta finish it.
I'm finish my document.
I'm a son of God. I must.
Must become the next snack.
Be like that. Wow, you are such a martyr. We all bow down to you, Koresh. So the siege ended on April 19th, 1993, when US Attorney General Janet Reno approved that the FBI could storm the castle.
The castle?
Storm the castle. I just like the phrase.
They've got a castle?
No, it's just a compound. And they did storm the compound with a tank.
Oh.
Nice.
She really said, yeah, storm it. Just yeah, like okay, we're going to go with tanks.
I think they just took one tank, but I can't remember. So the FBI also resorted to pumping CS gas into the compound to try and get the Branch Davidians to leave. Didn't work.
What's CS gas?
CS gas. It's like tear gassy stuff.
Oh.
I think. Or is it different? There's so much gas.
So much gas.
So the compound actually caught fire under circumstances that are still either unknown or disputed today. But during the fire, the Branch Davidians were still inside, barricading themselves in. So sadly, 79 of them died, and 21 of these victims were children under the age of 16. So the FBI claimed that Koresh's right-hand man, not Alexander Hamilton, Steve Schneider, probably killed Koresh because he realised he was a fraud. I mean, how did it take anyone that long?
Yeah.
He's going round just banging all these women saying, I am the son of God. I mean...
Everyone's like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd be like, something's up here. And then Schneider subsequently committed suicide. So we will never know. But another person said that Koresh was killed due to a gunshot wound during the fire. But no one knows if he killed himself or if someone else killed him. In another grim tale, the medical examiner said that 20 people, including 5 children under the age of 14, had been shot and a 3-year-old had been stabbed in the chest.
Aww.
So to me, I would think a Branch Davidian stabbed the child.
Why?
Because, I mean, I hate authority, so do you. But do I think the FBI would go in there and stab a 3-year-old in the chest?
No, not really.
No, I don't think so either. I'm not saying it was David Koresh, but I think one of the Branch Davidians might have had something to do with that one. I mean, either way, it is a tragedy and maybe a message that you should never force religion or a belief on children. Unless it's to hate the Tories, then you should always do that. So afterwards, there are still some Branch Davidians to this day around the world. But I suppose after this siege, they may keep a low profile. And I think I would too. I probably wouldn't go around shouting about it. It'd be the same as if you were a Scientologist.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's proud to be a Scientologist.
Tom Cruise is.
Yeah.
John Travolta.
I was going to say, isn't John Travolta?
Yeah, but didn't he want to leave the Church of Scientology after his wife died?
I don't know.
She had cancer and they were saying that,
John Travolta have cancer?
No, his wife.
Oh, I thought he had cancer.
No, he had an autistic son who died and the Church of Scientology wouldn't let him tell the media that he was autistic. So he had to hide it. I know. So David Koresh was buried in Memorial Park Cemetery in Tyler, Texas. Now wait for this. It's in a section called The Last Supper. It killed me right out before. I was like, what the hell?
The Last Supper.
So 2 years to the day after the siege, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols said the Waco siege was their motivation for the Oklahoma City bombing. So, I mean, why would you look at Waco and think, do you know what? I'm going to blow this building up. I'm pretty sure Terry Nichols is on a Bowling for Columbine. And I think that's Terry Nichols. I'm pretty sure it is. And he's got like a gun under his pillow. And he shows Michael Moore, the filmmaker. And he's like, oh yeah, but don't bring a camera in. And Michael Moore just goes, don't do that, don't do that. And he's there with a gun in his mouth laughing. It's very odd. It's very odd. And he was talking about how they were all making bombs on this farm. And I was like, oh, Jesus wept.
All right then. You do you, I guess.
You do you, hun. So that is the tale of the Branch Davidians and David Koresh. Very exciting. I think we should do more cults. I think I would like to tackle the Church of Scientology. I am all obsessed right. with watching Scientology things. I just love it so much. So there we go. Hope you've enjoyed our rambling. Ali showing me a video of a dancing lemon. This is just what happens here. It's never a dull moment. So we hope you enjoyed our episode. We will be back next week. Not about David Koresh though. With his mullet.
Oh, he had a mullet?
Oh yeah, I'll show you a picture of
it. I don't want to see his mullet.
So we will see you next week.
Bye.